When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
See him come off the line of scrimmage with that little hop
move step. Off the line of scrimmage.
Delease off the line of scrimmage.
Dick to the face mask as he's coming off the line of scrimmage.
Watch him just slow play this off the line of scrimmage.
Saw the release off the line of scrimmage.
What's good, people? Welcome to episode 109 of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ike. Follow me on Twitter at @just_Ike09. But today we are welcoming back the other co-hosts of the show, fresh off the IR list, fresh off the short-term IR. Gene, how you doing? How you feeling? How's the recovery?
AKA Doc Rivers, you know, I'm feeling good. The voice is still hoarse, but, you know, we good. I'm excited to talk about some football. It's been a while, so I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, we're going to have Gene on a little snap count today, because as you guys can hear, he's not all the way back, but glad he's back nonetheless. We do have a ton to get to today. Going to talk about notable risers and fallers post free agency frenzy from an ADP best ball on perspective on Underdog. And speaking of Underdog, we got a very special announcement. Very special announcement. Destination Devi is partnering with Underdog for the second straight season. We are running it back. Last year was really, really successful for us in our partnership with Underdog. So we are announcing that we are, you know, running it back with them. We do have a code that you guys can use to sign up, OTLFF, for a first-time deposit match up to $100. So, yeah, man, you know, you can play some best ball with us. There's a bunch of contests going on right now. There's the big board. That's the main one. It's $10 to enter. Top prize gets $200K. And then we have the rookies and sophomores, which is another $100K contest. The winner gets $10K. It's $10 entry. And this is effectively a four-person draft. So it's, you know, a different feel from your traditional best ball. But nonetheless, it's rocking and rolling. Underdog 2024, Destination Devi. We're about to get it. Any thoughts, Gene? You excited?
Yeah, man. I'm excited about, you know, the second year of partnering with Underdog. I know this partnership is leading into when we get to the draft itself and the big draft-a-thon that we're going to be having at the end of April. A lot of free stuff that's going to be given away during that time. So make sure y'all tap in with us at the end of April. For the draft and tapping in with us on the live stream for that. So I'm excited about that. Excited to be to try to max out on one of these contests for sure this year coming around. So should be a lot of excitement. I know that everybody's waiting for that Best Ball Mania 5. I'm sure that'll be dropping in the next few weeks right before the draft or right when the draft happens. So, you know, just excited for that.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to try to come close to maxing out that one. I'm gonna max out one of the puppies, for sure. Maxing out one of those because they're only $5, and I'm gonna try to max out one of those. But Best Ball Mania, I'm coming for you. I'm tired of you know, placing in these lesser contests. Although it's great to place. I mean, I'm grateful to place anyhow. But Best Ball Mania, I'm coming strictly for Best Ball Mania in 2024. So the only news item I want to discuss with you really quick. Jerry Jeudy recently got his extension from the Browns, 3 years, $58 million, $41 million guaranteed. I kind of get it from their standpoint, because look, you're trading a fifth and a sixth round pick for him. He's very cheap. You're paying him for what he's going to do, not what he has done. And what he has done has not been much. 4 years in the league. Only 11 touchdowns, a lot of hype, the all hype team. He is, you know, the all hype team that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, analysts across the, you know, across the space have been hyping up Jerry Jeudy. But he's leaving a lot to be desired. What are your thoughts on Jerry Jeudy's extension?
You know, you're not lying. He does leave a lot to desire. His base contract is, you know, a little bit more than Gabe Davis. He got almost double guaranteed than what Gabe Davis did. But I mean, I get it for the Browns. They traded for Jeudy. He's on his fifth year option. So essentially, if you think he's going to blow up, if he does really well, then you got him cheaper than he would if he would be on the open market. And then you got, you know, Cooper and Elijah Moore there on their last year of their deals also. So essentially, you're, you know, paying for somebody to be in your system. If those two players don't come back to your team next year, at least you got somebody that I would say that they trust as their new number one. If you saw me, I tweeted about him a few weeks ago when he first got traded in terms of, you know, how he think he should be valued. If you go to destinationdevy.com/Trinity Tool, then you'll see on the Trinity tracker that, you know, even though Jerry Jeudy was a borderline wide receiver 3 in terms of points per game, his Trinity score was 7.5. So he's in range to at least be a wide receiver 3. So, I mean, for whatever that's worth, you can at least probably try to trade for him for a second if you're one of these teams that are, you know, trying to, you know, go and win. You can maybe wait until after the draft to, you know, go send a second, or if you don't think some of these players are worth more than what you think Jerry Jeudy can provide for you on your roster, then you can do it now. So,
and that's the, you know, that's a good thing about the Trinity tracker and Trinity tool is that players like Jerry Jeudy, great example, right? He's not overly, you know, there's a lot of analysts, you know, across the space that aren't fond of him. There's a lot of analysts in the space that are fond of him. They think he's good. There's a lot of data points that support him. There's a lot of data points that don't support him. But the Trinity tool, it does actually, you know, eliminate a lot of that noise, and then just kind of focuses on the right details, focuses on, you know, the things that make a wide receiver successful. And a 7.5, like you said, is a really, really good, you know, really, really good score for a receiver, or a decent score for a receiver. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland. That's where I'm at right now. I'm still on the fence about him. You're not the only one, man.
He's like you said, all hype team, Mr. I can run routes, but it hasn't really turned into anything because either they've been hurt or, you know, just kind of questionable quarterback play. So the Trinity tool does show you that it kind of cuts out that noise and kind of tells you, like, hey, is it him or is it the environment that he's in? So right now, based on last year, it looks like it was kind of the environment, not him. So.
Yeah, and then another thing about Jerry Jeudy, just last thing on him, separation standpoint. I mean, he's been pretty decent at separating over the last several years. So that's another thing with his route running. I know he likes to oversell a lot of his routes, and it's kind of egregious at times. But he's still a decent route runner. I mean, I think we can all agree that he's a decent route runner. Maybe better than decent in spurts, but that's the one thing. He's a pretty good separator. I mean, at least it has been. Just haven't seen the results to come to fruition yet. And hopefully, you know, in Cleveland and with the healthy Deshaun Watson, and that's another thing. He can't stay healthy. Hopefully, he can this year. Maybe they can establish some sort of rapport and connection, and maybe get Jerry Jeudy off and running. And speaking of off and running, let's go ahead and get off and running with some of the ADP trends that we're seeing on Underdog. You know, this last wave of free agency, man, it's been crazy. Now we're kind of slowing down a little bit, not as frenzied. That first week was insane. A lot of trades, a lot of player movements. We saw the running backs basically take over, as I talked about last week. They basically, I feel like they won free agency.
How surprised were you to see that? I know all the talk was like, the running backs don't make no money, that nobody wants to pay for them. And I mean, they honestly did the opposite happened. Like all the, you know, the 2017, 2018 running backs all made pretty good money based compared to, you know, previous off seasons.
Well, it's a couple things. Number one, it's a screaming indictment on the incoming running back class, right? Yep. I mean there's not a lot of star potential in this group, although there's some players that have some upside, that have some decent floors there, but by and large, I mean this running back class is, I mean it's not people aren't overly fond of it. So that's the first thing. And number two, there are a lot of talented running backs that are not even, you know, they're around 26, 27 that hit the market, and they still have a lot of juice, right? I mean, I feel like Saquon Barkley has a lot of juice. DeAndre Swift has a lot of juice. Tony Pollard, I mean, I know he was pretty bad last year with the Cowboys and he couldn't score a touchdown to save his life, but he still has some juice. He got paid. I mean, Devin Singletary had a great year in Houston, overtaking Damian Pierce. Nobody saw that coming. He signed. Josh Jacobs, I know he's, you know, back-to-back seasons of 300 plus or pacing towards 300 plus touches and carries. I mean, he was a free agent and he got paid by Green Bay, and they jettisoned Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones has been a productive guy. And you know, the last four games in Green Bay, he was, you know, over 100 plus yards rushing and multiple touchdowns. So there was just a lot of talent on the running back market. And obviously that Zoom call that they did at the beginning, I think of either the beginning
the last
of
season.
Beginning of last season definitely worked because look, yeah. they all got paid. So it's those two things. I think those are the two main factors. And it was good to see them get some guarantees, right? Get some guaranteed money. Now, a lot of these deals are, you know, kind of fluffy, right? And that's what most of these deals are. You know, Josh Jacobs signed a 4-for-48 deal. He's not going to see all that. I mean, he is $12.5 million guaranteed. So there's probably like, you know, a couple non-guaranteed years on the back end. He may not even see that. So they can probably cut him in maybe at the end of year two, maybe at the end of year one. I don't know where the out is, because Spotrac is really, really good at identifying where a team can basically get out of a particular contract with minimal dead cap, with a minimal dead cap charge. And so we'll probably, you know, touch on that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, it was good to see these running backs get paid for sure. But the trends that we want to start with quarterbacks really quick. Not a ton of activity with quarterbacks. But the main ones that we want to discuss, obviously the Steelers, they got a new quarterback room, right? Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And they basically have swapped, Russell Wilson has gone up 22 spots and Justin Fields has gone down 22 spots. But Justin Fields is still ahead of Russell Wilson in ADP at QB 14. I did a draft the other day. I posted it on Twitter. If you haven't checked that out, please do. Where I actually took both quarterbacks, for just kind of like a unique build, because with the big board, you have two extra roster spots, so you can kind of play around with some of the some of the roster construction, and as opposed to like the puppy or the, you know, Best Ball Mania or any other contests that come out after the big board is up, you can take chances like this and, you know, maybe see what happens towards the end of the season. Let's say Russell Wilson gets hurt midseason and Justin Fields has to fill in, and Justin Fields goes on a heater, right? He lights it up, and you know he has a favorable Week 17 matchup. Could put you in prime position for the money if you're still alive at that point. So these are some of the things you think about whenever you're making some certain decisions like that. But any quick thoughts on the Steelers quarterback
room? I know they came out and people think that is a competition in terms of who's going to start. It ain't no competition. We know who's going to be starting. Come on. We already know. That's the reason why they shipped out Kenny Pickett. But again, for instance, your build, I get it, because let's say at the end of the year, they're not really in it for whatever reason. There's a fifth year option looming. I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do, but you would want to know what you have in Fields if he hasn't played up until that point. You want to know, because I mean, this could be a cheap way for you to, you know, bridge for the next couple of years with someone that's still fairly young and, you know, trying to figure out his way in an NFL. So I get it. In terms of ADP, I'm sure you give it a few more weeks. This is going to, in terms of one quarterback, just want to keep that in mind. This is one quarterback ADP. I'm sure this ADP gets shifted once we get super flex. But in terms of this environment, I'm sure you give it a couple more weeks. I mean, Justin Fields is going to be probably around where, you know, Russell Wilson is, and Russell Wilson kind of, you know, hover around QB 18, QB 19, QB 20 range in terms of ADP. So it's interesting to see where they're at right now, for sure.
Yeah. And then a couple of other notable moves. Kirk Cousins, it's up 10 spots or 11 spots rather. You know, he continues to steam up draft boards. He's inserted into the Atlanta Falcons offense with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson. And then they traded for Rondale Moore and they signed Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney's a speed guy. Rondale Moore can short area guy. He can get a lot of yak. So the Falcons offense is taking shape. Seems like they're gonna want to display some speed. And then hopefully, you know, Kyle Pitts gets targets. I mean, that's a very, very important thing here. But Kirk Cousins is the signal caller there, and you know, he's moving up draft boards. He's a QB 18. I anticipate him. And you know, one thing that we do have to also keep in mind is he's still coming off an Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why he's still back at QB 18. But otherwise, if he was like fully healthy and there was no questions, we wouldn't see if Kirk Cousins was fully healthy. Like, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I would rather have Kirk as well. That's just better offense. And Trevor Lawrence has kind of been up and down. And then plus he just lost Calvin Ridley, although Calvin Ridley didn't really do himself that many favors. So, you know, that's just kind of like one example that I can pinpoint. But
just wait for Kirk Cousins, put out one of these hype videos on Instagram, a.k.a. comeback season. And this dude's going to shoot up. He's going to go further than, I mean, he almost moved up around with the news of him going to Atlanta. Just wait for the first video of him actually like really doing some field work. It'd probably be two full rounds of him shooting up. So just wait on it.
Justin Herbert or Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins.
You take Cousins. Yeah. So right now, Justin Herbert, QB 11, Kirk Cousins, QB 18. That gap is going to close. It is going to close, especially if we don't get any other pass catchers on the Chargers.
It should be very interesting to see what they do in the draft. I imagine them trading down because they need pieces, clearly. But I mean, if we see them draft, you know, somebody that we love from the combine early second round, then I'm sure that's going to equate to, oh, Justin Herbert, you know, he got himself a piece and he'll move back up. But I think people are also with the fact that not only that he lost pretty much his whole offense, people are already assuming because of them bringing in Gus Edwards and they brought in Will Dissly and somebody else, I believe.
Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst, that they'll be just pounding a rock and he won't return the value that you think you'll get from a regular Justin Herbert led quarterback, led offense. So,
yeah, I think, obviously it's March 20th, right? But, and we can't really say that he's going to have significantly less pass attempts than he did in previous years. But, I mean, Keenan Allen's gone. Mike Williams is gone. Austin Eckler's gone. Gerald Everett's gone. A lot of these guys are just not, you have Quentin Johnston, who didn't show nothing last year. He didn't give you a semblance of hope in 2023, and hopefully he can turn that around. But man, it was as bad as it gets.
And Josh Palmer.
Got Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer is probably Justin Herbert's most trusted receiver right now. But he can't stay healthy either.
Nope.
So there's a lot of question marks for that Chargers offense, and Justin Herbert himself is down five spots on Underdog from an ADP perspective. So, but that's basically it for quarterback. Quarterback, not too many moves. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of other moves, like Anthony Richardson kind of down, about three spots. But the big movers, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, and Russell Wilson, I mean, those are the big movers.
Basically, everybody that was in the news moved, and that's going to be a theme of this whole thing. We're just in the area of offseason where nothing's really going to move you unless there's some news attached to you. So,
all right, next running backs. There was a lot of activity from the running back position, but the big movers, Josh Jacobs up 20 spots to RB10 now. His ADP was 59. Now his ADP is 39 overall. Derrick Henry 16.6 spots up to RB11. He was at 61 overall. Now he's at 44 overall. And then we have Joe Mixon up 16 spots as well to RB19, 73 overall. He was at 89 overall. So quick thoughts on some of these guys. I mean, obviously, we talked about from the outset, these running backs just knocked it out of the park in free agency. Joe Mixon getting an extension from Houston immediately after only giving up to Houston for a seventh round pick. I think it's a steal. Joe Mixon's only 27. I mean, I know his efficiency metrics kind of plummeted last year, but double-digit touchdowns, I think over 1,200 total yards last year. Still very, very productive, and he's moving from one good offense to another good offense in Houston. And so quick thoughts on these running backs, running back movements.
I mean, these were people that people were all down on because we didn't know where they were going. We assumed that they weren't going to go to a place where that they might be the guy, and all these guys you talked about on top of whatever you want to say about DeAndre Swift, even as Austin Eckler kind of moved a little bit, Devin Singletary, they all moved into situations where they're going to be the lead guy. They got paid like they were going to be the lead guy. So the community moved them up. Like, these were guys that they were kind of wavering on, but now they know where they're going and what the situation looks like. Now people are in have full confidence, especially with Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs. These are two veteran running backs, and this is a 1 year bet when you're dealing with underdogs. So it's not like Dynasty where even though they've gotten a couple of years of security, like these are old guys for running backs. So just overall, I mean, like I said before, if they were in the news, they moved a lot. So
are you going to smash this year or not? That's the question. That is the question we have for these running backs, and that's what we care about in best ball. Derrick Henry, yeah. Spike Weeks. I mean, last year, I mean, you talk about people think that Derrick Henry was washed, but he had 12 touchdowns. He was second in breakaway runs, eighth in breakaway run rate, ninth in evaded tackles. So he showed a little wiggle, and he can still break some long runs. 16th in fantasy points per game, and for that putrid Titans offense that had a quarterback carousel, and now he's going to Lamar Jackson. I mean, I think Derrick Henry is going to absolutely smash, and it's very easy to see him having a floor of potentially 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, the story can be told easily. That much.
You don't have to, put together a PowerPoint presentation on how Derrick Henry's going to smash in Baltimore. Like, you just, there's really not much to say other than yes. That's it. Yeah. All you got to say is yes. But I never got your thoughts on this one though. DeAndre Swift in Chicago. What do you think about the fit? What do you think about DeAndre Swift's prospect in 2023? I'm sorry, 2024. With a potential, Caleb Williams rookie quarterback, and how he fits into that backfield. He's up 14 spots to RB26.
Yeah.
So he's another strong riser.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was weird for them to spend money on a running back of DeAndre Swift. I mean, he is the best runner out of this group. They got a lot of weapons, so he's going to be the guy, I guess. They still got Khalil Herbert, for whatever that's worth. He ain't that bad. Roshan, he's probably pretty much dusted. I know we held out hope, but you bring in a young running back on a four-year deal. I mean, I don't know what they expect from him, but in terms of DeAndre Swift, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it doesn't really move the needle that much for me. So he's around the range where you got like Austin Eckler, James Conner, Jaylen Warren. I mean, I think he's around the range where he should be, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate range for him. But I mean, I'm probably going to have a lot more DeAndre Swift than most because, A, I have if you look at the Chicago Bears right now, three players that I am a truther on the same offense.
That is true.
We got DeAndre Swift, we got DJ Moore, we got Keenan Allen. Like,
yeah,
these are three truthers of mine. And it just I couldn't be happier.
Now, I will say it should be interesting. I don't know how we'll know what Shane Steichen wants to do, because, you know, being under Pete Carroll, they used two backs and you couldn't really get a read of which one to have. So it should be interesting pretty early on how they deploy this back room, running back room, for sure. If he's a guy that stays true to what he was doing in Seattle, where you're kind of balancing between two running backs, or you're a guy that wants one to, you know, be the 60 while somebody else is the 40.
Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned it. I think Roschon Johnson is the odd man out right now. As it currently stands. I mean, I talked about this last week. He just looked kind of mid for the most part this year, or this past year. And, you know, even before the concussion that he got, because remember that really, really bad concussion that he sustained and he was out multiple weeks.
Yeah.
Even before that, man, we were just kind of waiting for something to kind of happen with him. Like, we were anticipating, like, it was him and Herbert, right? It was him and Khalil Herbert that was man in the backfield. We think he's going to take over. His playing time was going up and his opportunity share was going up. And then one game, all that went away. And then he got the concussion against Washington, and then was never the same. I mean, his juke rate, 36th in the league, evaded tackles, 52nd, you know, true yards per carry, 24th. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but his breakaway run rate was only 45th, and only two breakaway runs, and that ranked 57th. So he just wasn't very efficient last year. He just wasn't. And then now you bring in DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert's, you know, probably the 1B there. I'm curious to see how they're going to deploy Roschon Johnson in year two. But
yeah.
But moving on, you know, a couple of other notable running back movements. Tajay Spears down 23 spots. Now he's now at RB 28. He was going at pick 68, and then now he's going at pick 91. And this was obviously due to the Tony Pollard signing. And the interesting thing about Tony Pollard is that he didn't move. He didn't move at all. His ADP is basically kind of the same. RB 21.
So let's go back to Spears for a second. So him moving down pretty much two rounds, did people think that he was going to go in and, you know, be the bell cow? I'm confused as to why such a big move. I don't know what inkling gave people to think that he was going to go in there, and now that Derrick Henry left, that he was going to be a guy that gets 250 touches, because you drop him from basically the sixth round to the eighth is a big jump. So you expected him to be the guy. I think that's a little odd for people to think that, no?
I mean, I think so as well. I mean, I think it was almost a foregone conclusion that they were going to replace ask the running back room. I mean, it was now nobody expected it to be a guy like Tony Pollard, right? I mean,
no.
But with all these talented free agents available, and they weren't going to re-sign Derrick Henry, I mean, you had to have, you know, thought to yourself, well, maybe they're going to go after one of these guys, or at least do it in the draft, or do it via draft. And, you know, that's another thing. They could potentially add to the running back room in the draft and deploy another running back, because they want to, and that'll be even more messy, because, you know, they want to help their young quarterback, you know, Will Levis. So, you know, they already signed Calvin Ridley to that big deal. They already have DeAndre Hopkins, who I think he's on his last year of that deal. Yep. And then Treylon Burks came out, had some pretty good quotes. maybe year three is his year, and he could show us a little bit more, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy himself. So, you know, they're trying to stockpile talent around Will Levis, but you know, regarding Spears, it was almost a foregone conclusion that they're going to add to the running back room. So this fall doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But in any event, that's cool. I'll just draft more of them in best ball.
Yeah, it's cheaper. Yeah, it's cheaper now, because you got Tony Pollard. Yeah. You got Pollard at 21, RB 21. He's a round ahead of him.
Yeah,
let me get the cheaper guy, man. They both do similar things.
Yeah, let me get the cheaper guy. Yeah, exactly. They're pretty similar from a skill set standpoint. So yeah, I'll take that discount all day. And then lastly, we want to just talk about Zamir White. Zamir White is another winner in free agency with the departure of Josh Jacobs. You know, Zamir White is now let me see where he's at. Zamir White is up to RB 33. He's up 18 spots. So that's a pretty good jump for Zamir White, who averaged 15 fantasy points per game when Josh Jacobs was out last year. So he was very productive. And yeah, remember that Chiefs game late in the season, he had like 20 carries for over 140 yards. Like he was the guy, and they used him like a bell cow. They used him exactly how Josh Jacobs has been used in Las Vegas over the last couple of years. So I anticipate similar usage. I'm not saying 15 fantasy points a game. They signed Alexander Mattison, and that's not scaring anybody whatsoever, because he's still on the rise. Because Alexander Mattison, I mean, the coaches lost faith in him last year, and you know, they cut him. Like they signed him to a deal last offseason, and they cut him the following year. That says a lot, right? So we're not really worried about Alexander Mattison. So I think Zamir White going in RB 33, I think he's in a good spot to get a lot of shares this offseason. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Alexander Mattison, I mean, he's just an older version of him, honestly. So I don't see it doesn't move me any. So yeah, I mean, until they show us otherwise, yeah, Zamir, I get it. And then also you got Zach Moss, who jumped, I think, almost three and a half rounds from him getting the job at Cincinnati. So also keep that in mind. He jumped up 42 spots. So just to also keep that in mind for a guy that's, you know, he's the guy, at least a 60%er in Cincinnati. They still got Chase Brown. They re-signed T. Williams that came from Oklahoma. So I imagine Zach Moss being pretty much used like Joe Mixon was used in previous years.
Yeah, and, you know, Devin Singletary up 14 spots, and then we had Gus Edwards up 36 spots. But, you know, they'll probably add to their running back room as well in the draft. All right, on to wide receivers. Not a lot of activity in the top 12, right? The top 12 has remained pretty static. The only notable thing, though, is Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase basically flipped. Chase was 5. Jefferson was 4. Now Jefferson's yep. 5 and Chase is 4.
What you think about that? What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's Kirk Cousins leaving. I mean, I think that's probably what it is. I mean, we're seeing Justin Jefferson now at like pick 7, right? Yeah. Pick 7 on underdog, pick 8, right? I think I did a draft the other day. He went like pick 8 or pick 9 or something like that. Like he's going a little later than we've seen over the last couple of years.
And do you think that is a value? Because I know people are scared of what they're going to do with that quarterback room. They got Sam Darnold, who was Mr. Turn It Over when we last saw him start in Carolina. I mean, he's a guy that's always turned the ball over. I'm not sure why. I don't think that you can't just get that out of your system. Like, I think that's just who he is. So what are your thoughts on him, you know, kind of dropping? And do you think that's an actual value now in drafts?
Yeah, anytime you have a guy like Jefferson dropping, and you know, it's obviously going to be a value. But a couple things, like with Sam Darnold, he's typically not going to be throwing for a ton of yards, because over his career, I think he's barely averaging around like 200 yards passing. And then Justin Jefferson's either going to be catching passes from a rookie or Sam Darnold. Who, you know, historically rookie quarterbacks, they don't throw for a ton of yards either, right? Kirk Cousins he was throwing for a lot of yards on a routine basis, over 35 plus pass attempts. I mean, do we anticipate that happening with Justin with either the quarterbacks that Justin Jefferson is going to be catching passes from? That remains to be seen. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer right now, but history suggest that there's going to be less pass volume than we're accustomed to seeing in Minnesota in 2024.
Yeah, it's tough to look at him. You look at his name, and if you're drafting him in the first round, especially in that middle part, I mean, you're expecting him to score, what, 16, 17 points and half PPR?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's going to be tough, honestly. So,
yeah,
I might not have too much exposure of Justin Fields. Justin Jefferson in this current, you know, current state. Now, between now and the draft, yeah, I probably won't have much of them. But after the draft, maybe they might do something that might allow me to have more confidence. But right now, to put that bet, to pretty much bet that he's going to return that value is tough for me, man. I'd rather put my coins on Amon-Ra, AJ, Puka, who's all going around him, even Garrett Wilson, who's also going around him too.
I'm actually in on Garrett Wilson this year. I wasn't in on him last year, but this year I am. And the Jets, they just signed Mike Williams, so he's got a running buddy to kind of take the pressure off of him and stretch the field alongside of him. So there's going to be a lot of underneath routes for Garrett Wilson for him to operate, and it's going to be I think he's going to have his true breakout year. We got to think like 90 plus catches, 1300 plus yards, potentially double digit touchdowns. I think I see that in Garrett Wilson's range of outcomes. So I'm going to have a lot of Garrett Wilson in 2024.
Yeah, I concur with you.
And he hasn't really moved.
Yeah. And think about it. Like even last season, he had 168 targets on. And I mean, the quarterbacks that were throwing him the ball, you're just like, so for somebody as in the elk of Aaron Rodgers, for whatever that's worth now, it's still better than anybody that he played with last year. So, I've been in the back of the first round, I've always doubled them up with him and like Kyron, him and AJ, him and Nico. So, yeah, I'm on board with that also.
Yeah, definitely. Another notable wide receiver movement, and it's pretty obvious, Drake London. Drake London up 11 spots to wide receiver 16 from 37 overall to 26 overall. So he's going right at that 2-3 turn range, pick 26-ish. So that's if this was prior to the Kirk Cousins news, he was probably even past, pick 37. He's probably like pick 40s in the 40s because, their quarterback situation was in flux. And so, Drake London is a huge winner in free agency and that Falcons offense as a whole, and he's just going to continue to rise. Right now, he's going around Stephon Diggs, Rashee Rice, Davante Adams, Brandon Ayuk. Who would you rather have out of these guys? I mean, Drake London versus Davante Adams. Who would you rather have?
I think it's close, man.
It's closer, right? I mean, it's close. If I asked this question 2 years ago, I'd get laughed out of the building. Right, but it's a little bit of we're just talking about 1 year. We're talking about best ball. We're talking about 2024. We're not talking about who's the better player. I think Davante Adams is still a better player than Drake London, but in terms of who'd rather have on your fantasy team in best ball for 2024, I don't know, man.
I think I will take the bet on London. Because think about it, you got Gardner Minshew. He wasn't bad last year, but again, like it's Gardner Minshew. And I know what Cousins has done in the type of offense that he's going to be in. Cause it's all under the same tree. So if it operates even similar to what it wasn't with the Vikings, then I mean, this is a value. And just again, like I said, let Kirk Cousins drop a hashtag comeback season video, bro. Everybody in that offense is going to get boosted. So I've been drafting a lot of Drake London myself as of right now because I think he's still a value too. I don't think we're at his ceiling in terms of his ADP yet.
Yeah, he's going ahead of Deebo Samuel, Chris Olave, Michael Pittman, Jalen Waddle. I mean, Drake London is his time this year. I think he's going to cook. I think he's going to smash, and he's going to have no shortage of target volume this year. With an actual quarterback that can deliver the ball, and on top of that, the target quality is going to increase, right? The target quality is going to be much better than it was in 2023. Going from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins. So Drake London up 11 spots, George Pickens up seven spots. So he's continuing to rise a little bit, and I think he already did a lot of rising. I think this is like right after the Deontay Johnson trade. up to the Panthers. And Deontay himself, he's up 15 spots because he's right now the number one in Carolina. So there's nothing with a second-year quarterback who's going to potentially be ascending, and he's going to be the target hog there. Now, they probably double dip in the draft and get some two young guys, but I don't think that's going to threaten Deontay Johnson's target share because he's been commanding targets before. He has 170 target season under his belt, so we know what Deontay Johnson is capable of, and we know that he can produce within the confines of an offense. So those two guys, former Pittsburgh Steeler, current Pittsburgh Steeler, both up for obvious reasons. Any fallers did you want to highlight? I mean, we see Jordan Addison down 10 spots. That's obviously a direct result of Kirk Cousins, leaving and the quarterback situation being in flux with just Sam Darnold, and the pass volume may not be at, what it is or what it's anticipated to be. Any others that you want to highlight before we move on to tight end?
I think it was interesting to see, a couple of people fall, some of the rookies, because usually the only thing that's been moving, like I said, the outset was if you had news on your name, then you moved. But to see somebody like Trey Franklin, drop almost a full round is just interesting because, how he performed at the combine, probably people assumed that he was going to be a guy that runs 4.3. I mean, he ran a 4.4. Maybe they didn't like his gauntlet, how he was kind of, fading from the passes, but just seeing him drop almost 9 spots was interesting to see for somebody that doesn't really have any news happening around him, because all the other rookie wide receivers, they dropped maybe 1 spot, didn't move, or they went up a spot. But for him to drop 9, that's just community sentiment that they didn't like how he performed at the combine. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. All right, lastly, tight ends. And there's only one guy to really pinpoint is Kyle Pitts. He's up 16 spots, tight end 7, goes from pick 87 to pick 71. So this is pretty obvious. All the Falcons guys basically moving up, continuously moving up. And we weren't surprised, we weren't shocked by any of this movement. So Kyle Pitts is probably the most notable. But that outside of that, I mean, there wasn't really a ton of activity with tight end movement. I mean, we saw TJ Hockenson go down six spots. Similar thing with Jordan Addison. No Kirk Cousins. Sam Darnold's a quarterback. Pass volume, leaving a lot to be desired. Cole Kmet went up 7.6 spots to tight end 15. So it's still cheap, right? He's still relatively cheap, but he's up nonetheless. And a lot of the weapons around, he's going to have a lot of weapons around him, and Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and DeAndre Swift, and Gerald Everett's there as well. So, I mean, there's no shortage of weapons in Chicago.
No excuses.
Yeah, no excuses. Whoever plays quarterback for Chicago, all intents and purposes, is Caleb Williams. No excuses.
No excuses.
Well, even though he's a rookie, yeah. But he's got he's set up. He's being thrusted into a situation where, hey, Chicago, they learned their lesson. But, hey, let's actually do the right thing. Let's surround our quarterback with talent. Let's do that. Why don't we do that? Let's see how it works this time. It didn't work with the last guy. Let's see if it'll work with this guy. Can you imagine? Right?
Imagine
that. What a novel concept. Surrounding your young quarterback with talent. I should be a GM.
Yeah, you should. I will also note that some of these dusty tight ends that we've been drafting towards the end of drafts are now moved up a few, couple of rounds. Like Hunter Henry's moved up around. Jonnu Smith has moved up 3 rounds. Basically all the guys that were in news, like I said, they've moved up. So now you got another new batch of tight ends that you can potentially draft at the end of your drafts.
All right, anything else? I mean, we got Dallas Goedert that's down on 1.9 spots. No, not really sure that's really noteworthy. Trey McBride went down a little bit, a couple spots, but nothing really else stands out with tight end.
Nah, it's just copacetic, man. Just ain't nothing really moving up top in basically the top, 15?
Yeah.
It's the same guys. It's just really the the back end where the guys where you're probably attacking at the end of your drafts are moving up because of their new situations.
All right. So we've reached the end of the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in, lending us your ears. And, you know, again, welcome Gene back, sounding like Doc Rivers and everything. next week, we're going to do a live underdog draft. So this is one of our funner episodes that we like to kind of dive in, do a live draft, assess the roster in real time, like we did, throughout draft season last year. So we're going to go ahead and run it back again. 2024, the Destination Debbie's partnering with Underdog. Please make sure you sign up using the code OTLFF. You get 100% deposit match of up to $100. Please be sure you do that. You know, it's great. You know, Underdog's a great platform. It has, daily pick'ems. It has, obviously, it has all these best ball contests, which, you can play against me, you can play against Gene, you can play against other members of the Destination Devi squad. But please be sure you do that. Gene, do you have anything else for the people before we get up out of here?
I mean, I don't really got anything. Just make sure you tap in, April 25th through 27th as we do our live stream during the draft. It's going to be a bunch of fun. A lot of jerseys, a lot of cards, a lot of stuff going to be given away during that time. So, just make sure you tap in with all of us or any of us in terms of the news as we get closer to that, man. I'm just excited about that. The week, that same week, we're going to drop our NFL draft betting pod with Jay Rich and Brandon. So make sure you tap in with that. I know we had a lot of hits last year in terms of when we dropped that. So we're running that back again. So make sure you tap into those two things at the end of April.
All right. Till next week, we'll be back with the live underdog draft. So until then, start entering those best ball streets like we are and tap in next week. Peace out.